passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome in. It is a new week, and what a week we have in store for you. A lot to discuss after a weekend of surprises, upsets, and some, unfortunately, key injuries. Let's get right to the headlines here on a Monday, and this is the one that nobody in Georgia land wants to see. Brock Bowers having surgery for a high ankle sprain, out 4 to 6 weeks. You can do the math on the earliest he could return. There's some really high-tech surgery that are being instituted here for a quick return. After the game on Saturday, before Kirby heard the final result, he was hinting at it with this.
I mean, there's not a lot you can do this game of football, right? They're going to play tackle, and you're going to get injured. You're going to have bumps and bruises. You're going to have injuries and things. That's not – I mean, we're not going to overreact to it. I mean, so I'm thinking about Brock, but – I think he'll be fine.
So what does this do to the playoff race? Well, it opens it up. Many people believe the Big Ten looking quite good. The SEC hanging in there at about 61%. Not a good chance of getting two teams in, though. What about the Tide? Offense looking better. Another close game with the Big Orange coming up this weekend. Well, speaking of sputtering offense, what about Josh Heupel's team? This isn't the team of yesteryear, or more than likely last year. This is Tennessee versus Nick Saban. This is over the years and then last year. Meanwhile, Hugh Freeze beginning to wonder what he's up to. Hey, Hugh, this was your game, man. Hugh Freeze questioning Auburn's game plan as if he was involved or not. We're waiting for a response. Auburn destroyed by LSU Saturday night. BK will join us. Bet he's going to be in a good mood. He'll join us in a couple of minutes. How about Billy Napier getting a good night's sleep finally? And what an amazing win. I mean, this game was over. They were counting the Gators out until Graham Mertz and company decided, you know what, it's time to save the season.
Honestly, I think it goes back to the week of prep. I mean, across the board, from coaching staff to players and support staff, I mean, every day we were on. So I think we just owe that to our entire organization. Like it was truly a full organization win. So that was fun.
Take me through the tip pass that Eugene ends up coming down with. What was going through your mind?
I'll talk about this. So Ricky was wide open. Ricky was wide open on the slant. I threw it behind him. He did a good job of propping it up because he knew Trey was right behind him.
Yeah.
It was all we knew it was going to happen the whole time. No.
What about letting Ricky talk? We will let Ricky talk later. Ricky Pearsall joining us in a couple hours. Chris Vanini from The Athletic and Cole Kublik on pretty much everything else. And what about Eli Drinkwitz? Don't count him out. Who would have done that? Missouri defense provides the edge. And it's maybe time for Kentucky fans to pony up some money so they can be able to beat Missouri at home. Missouri is still alive, did you hear me, for the college football playoff. 0.3%. Ole Miss has a 1% chance. You start winning some games, and all that can change. Let's take some phone calls here. And I was thinking of this guy in Knoxville Saturday. Once again, Jimbo Fisher's team loses. And once again, Matt is talking about wait until next year. What about it, Matt?
This morning, I am pausing off the line. You know, you asked me a question one time, Paul, you guys, if you ever watch a game with me, you might not want to. You want to know why? Because I might break the TV like a charge at this point. I'm so frustrated. The offensive line sucks. secondary really sucks. And I'm getting to the point where I might just wait for next year.
I realize you're an Aggie fan, right?
Yeah, I've been working a long time,
Paul. Have you considered maybe becoming a Longhorn fan or a Sooner fan or an Alabama fan? Because I don't think the Yankees are ever going to make you happy. I just don't think that's in the cards. John is in Louisville. John?
Yeah, but at least they've got a great recruiting class, right?
They do. And next year's class looks even whatever.
60 seconds of quit hitters, Paul. First of all, let me start with the Kentucky fans. I can promise you, Missouri, they bought some good players. Anyways, their football season's over.
By the way, have we gotten a medical report from the UK hospital on whether they've gotten the foot out of Mark Stoops' mouth yet?
Doesn't matter. The football season's over. It's time to enjoy basketball till March when they get St. Peter'd again, right? So, Paul, I was right on my picks, Tennessee, Notre Dame, and Washington, and I'm really comfortable. I'm going with Penn State over Ohio State. I think they've got a better quarterback, running back. Their defenses are equal. It's in the horseshoe, which is a great environment. But, hey, Michigan outscored them 28-3 last year in the horseshoe. So that's that. The worst comment last weekend was, and I'll set the table with Deion. He said on Friday before the game that it was the dumbest thing ever to have a game at that time. It was the stupidest thing ever invented. And the reason was the bedtime for his players was after halftime. And then he rips on the players, Paul. And says they don't have passion, they don't have a love for the game. But his son, the starting quarterback, is on Instagram pushing merchandise at halftime. So it's like father, like son there, like son, like father.
John, you ever heard the saying, you got to make a living?
I know, right. And then finally, I've got the quote of the day. And it's from some Michigan linebacker. He says, like the coach always says, we're in the ass-kicking business and business is booming. So,
well said. Hey, John, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. How about Mike in Texas? Hello, Mike.
Hello, Paul. Thank you so much for taking my call and for the opportunity to be heard on the show, which I believe is the best sports talk show, period. I'd first like to say I'm sorry to hear the news about Brock Bowers' ankle injury. I, like you, Paul, thought up to this point he deserved to be at the top of the list for the Heisman. Secondly, I'd like to compliment both Alabama's and Tennessee's coaching staffs and players for their second-half performances against my Aggies. Next, I'd like to utilize this show's national platform to get a message out to A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork and share my well-thought-out and written-down opinions. In the mid-70s, under Coach Emory Ballard, I was a team member, so I feel like I know a little bit about what I'm about to say. Number one, in post-game interviews against both Alabama and Tennessee, Jimbo Fisher has no remorse or embarrassment after being out-coached and outplayed in the second half of both games. Coach Fisher has no incentive to win. He's going to make millions upon millions of dollars whether we win or lose, either way. Guaranteed. He coaches the games not to lose instead of playing aggressive to win. He's too soft on his players and doesn't give passionate, motivated, in-your-face, go-kick-some-butt speeches before the game or at halftime. And lastly, players nowadays with the NIL and transfer portal have very little loyalty to their school, only thinking about themselves and what they can get financially and through social media publicity. I, as a loyal and faithful Aggie and lover of the game of football, am tired of constantly getting my hopes up only to be let down year after year. Thank you for this opportunity to share my thoughts with you, Paul. Have a blessed week.
Thank you, Mike. I don't know where A&M season goes from here. The schedule is dicey. with two road games ahead at Ole Miss and LSU. But in just talking to fans in Knoxville before the game, there was a level of tune out on what this gentleman was talking about. And I'm sure it's even accelerated since then. As far as what Jimbo Fisher is supposed to say, I don't think it really matters what he says. He could scream and holler and throw his visor, and it doesn't change the outcome, and it doesn't change another lost season. We'll take a short break. Brian Kelly, who's trying to get back to the SEC championship game, will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And it is Monday, and we are always excited to welcome from Baton Rouge the head coach of the LSU Tigers, Coach Brian Kelly, after a big win over Auburn. Army this weekend, Coach. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
I know everything is moving ahead, but just a quick thought on Saturday night. I'll let you explain, but it looked pretty good from my television set.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch this offense. Jaden Daniels is playing at an elite level. The consistency in which they're playing, I think it's six consecutive games with over 500 yards. I think he's put himself squarely in the conversation as, you know, one of the best players in the country, and good for him. I mean, you know, last year at this time, we were talking about 85 yards in passing against Auburn. So he's done all the work necessary to you know, put himself in these kinds of conversations. But I think the real piece here is that we're playing closer to the complementary football necessary to be a good football team in the SEC. And that is, you got to play better defense. And obviously we, you know, hadn't done that up to this point. I thought we played better. Our defensive line play was better. We're competing for the ball in the back end and tackling better. There's progress that still needs to be made, but we're taking the steps in the right direction.
Coach, I realize you're seeing it frame by frame, but is it just a couple of things that get better, not get better, but the work that goes into it, and it looks better and it works better, because it looked totally different defensively from one week to the next?
Well, I think it starts with the structure of the defense. This is the second week in a row now that we've gone to a four-down defense. We had been in three-down. I think it just fits better. It puts Harold Perkins in a position where, you know, we can get into four down as a pass rusher. He can also play in space. He can impact the game in a more consistent fashion where everybody knows where they fit now. And I think this is the second week in a row. There's some consistency. And when guys know what everybody else is doing and what their jobs are, we don't have guys trying to do somebody else's job, which, as you know, can create some problems defensively. So we're attacking at the line of scrimmage. Getting the structure right was really the first ingredient. I think that's where the development starts to take place.
And a final thought on Jaden, because you alluded to where he was a year ago. I know it's a big pot of things that have changed, but what would you concentrate on or isolate on in terms of his biggest acceleration from last year to where we are right now in the middle of the season?
Well, I think it starts with the recognition of the offense itself. You know, he was coming from a direct snap offense, and now being in this offense and then spending, you know, certainly the second year in it. He made progress, obviously, during the year last year. We saw that visibly as the season went on. But I think it was all the work that he did in the offseason. You know, a lot of the training that went into his development was the time that he spent, whether it be, you know, VR training, virtual reality training, off-season training, working with quarterback coaches. He's the one who did this. And now there's a comfort level with the offense. And you can see that by just the way he plays the game. It comes to him a lot easier. Last year at this time, it didn't come easy. So that's confidence. That's certainly knowledge. And now he can use his athletic ability, and all those things come together as one.
Coach, we're sitting here. You have a non-conference game against Army. Certainly, everyone respects what they do at West Point. And then the bye week, and then even though you're not looking ahead, a lot of fans are. And I know you alluded to that at some point between the game and today. But how do you get everyone on your team to stay focused? You're a favorite in a game like this. You're supposed to win, but but there's more to it than that. How do you communicate that to your program?
I think first and foremost, let's recognize the special atmosphere that will be created by playing a service academy and how lucky they are to be involved in this game. This is the first time we've ever hosted in Tiger Stadium a service academy in Army. Our governor is a West Point grad. So there's so much about playing the academies and such a respect that we have for them. So just the opportunity to play in this game, then the ability to continue to develop. And we already talked about how far our defense needs to continue to develop. And then certainly, you know, you've got a player like Daniels who needs to continue to show himself and our offense that needs to continue to grow. So there's so much at stake for this football team. As long as they're not distracted by next week or the week after and stay focused on what's important right now, this should be a great weekend.
And on that point, you alluded to the service academy, but it is different. And I know in your previous stops, you've played a lot of service academies. But for those who have not participated in something like this, talk about that experience as a head coach, competing with academies that really represent the best of all of us.
The greatest leaders that are going to be representing and fighting for our country, putting their lives on the line. There's such a deep respect for what they do. And in some instances, Saturday is the easiest part of their week, you know, because of their training and certainly what they have to do on a day-to-day basis. So I just think when we're talking about playing the academies, Air Force, Army, and Navy, just the respect for the student athlete and what they have to do. And then what they do after their career is over in terms of playing football. Again, it's just a special arrangement that we get an opportunity to play these academies.
We're talking to Coach Brian Kelly. Coach, I was on a program, I think it was Sunday morning, and I was talking about the Washington game against Oregon, which was really an amazing football game. You were probably very busy and didn't see it. But I made some reference to the Pac-12, and I realize you're in the SEC and you wanted to be, but is there a way to compare all what happens in the SEC versus all these other leagues? Because commentators love to get put in those positions. Coaches don't really look at it like we are because they're only concentrating on who their team is about to play. But you've been around. You've seen a lot. Where is the SEC right now?
I think it's probably there's as much parity in this league than maybe there's been in many, many years. Certainly Georgia and Alabama have been, you know, the two schools that have, you know, consistently been there. LSU obviously in 19, but clearly there is a clearer, deeper SEC in terms of the ability to compete at the top. So I think it's cyclical, right? I mean, you know, each year in college football, the transfer portal has shown that there's a little bit more parity. Again, free agency, they say in the NFL is what brings parity. But I think there's a little bit more of that balance in the SEC this year. But, you know, who knows what happens next year? We bring in Oklahoma, we bring in Texas. That's a pretty deep SEC when you bring in two more, you know, top 10 teams. We have six teams ranked in the top 25. You're going to add, if you add Oklahoma and you add certainly Texas, you know, you've got eight teams ranked. That's a pretty deep SEC.
Yeah, well, it's what you wanted, and you're getting it. Of course, your first year, you managed to get to the SEC championship game. You made it look too easy, Coach. Listen, thanks always for your time on these Mondays. We thoroughly enjoy it.
Me too. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Coach Brian Kelly joining us from Baton Rouge as the LSU Tigers, fresh off a big win over Auburn, take on Army this Saturday night in Baton Rouge. We'll take a short break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
It's Monday. You'll hear more from Cole and Roman, 7 p.m. Cole will drop by here in about an hour and a half. Mike is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
You know, the Gamecocks are going to waste Spencer Rattler's career because the kid's got to give up 40 points to win a game. The defense, let me tell you how many the scores against the last nine Power 5 teams. It was 38-38, 30-45, 31-24, 30-41, and 41. I don't know how, you know, you can win when you give up that many points every game.
You must miss Shane Beamer after the game when he said they had that, they had some of those plays designed perfectly on the edge, but just didn't execute well, which was a really a bizarre comment for a head coach to essentially throw his players under the bus.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a player issue or if it's a Clayton White coaching issue. You know, either one of the two, they really need to get it figured out because they're just wasting Rattler's career.
It's getting very late to figure those things out, but thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. How about Bob in Fort Worth? Hello, Bob.
Yeah, afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I need you to explain something to me. How in the world, how in God's name, do you have arguably two of the best offensive minds in college football on a team, one of the best defensive teams in America, hold a team to 20 points and not win a ball game?
Beyond me, really, because you're right.
Oh, I'm telling you,
defense has done enough to win the last two games.
I've had about a belly full, Paul, I don't even know where to start. I don't know who needs to go, who needs to stay. Looks like to me, second half, these kids are quitting playing. Both games, this and Alabama's. Because I'm going to tell you something. Everybody scream about Alabama back, Alabama back. They barely beat Arkansas. I don't understand what in the world is going on at College Station.
Well, but Bob, the problem is this. We're now 6 years into a regime. If the buyout was not what it is, would we be having this conversation?
Paul, now you know better than that. The number of the buyout doesn't make any difference down there.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, they might flinch, but that's.
Well, the reason I bring it up, do I believe Aggies could come up with that money in about 5 minutes? Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I know enough about the A&M mentality, but the problem is, there's more to it. To pay someone that type of money to go away is a really bad look for any university, especially one like Texas A&M.
Well, I agree with you there, but something's got to be done. Now, do I think Jimbo will get one more year? The people I talk to seem to think they'll give him one more year. But it's just, and look, I'm not this kid from San Antonio. I mean, I can't go get another team. This is the one I was born and raised in.
No, I feel for you, and I'm sympathetic because I thought a couple weeks ago this conversation would never come up because I was of the belief that Jimbo Fisher had finally turned that corner. But at some point, you have to quit blaming everyone but the head coach. He is responsible for that program. It is his program.
Well, you're right about that. You're right about that. You can't blame it. You know, and brought in Petrino, I thought, well, okay. You know, of all the hoo-ha-ha and stuff over Petrino, that man can coach. He can coach offense. I just do not, and got all the talent, all the facilities, all the money in the world, and can't win a ball game in a second half. I'm so damn mad, Paul. I don't even know what to say.
Well, Bob, you've said a lot, and you've done it with grace, and that's, you know, at some point that patience is going to run out. Thank you very much for the call. I do appreciate it. Daryl is up next.
Would that be with grace or just amazing grace, Paul?
I thought so.
Well, I guess we're going to be without Bowers.
Hey, Daryl, slow down a second. Randy, can you get I think he wants a double cheese, fries, and a shake. Quit speaking through the the window at Wendy's and get closer to that phone.
Does that sound better?
Sure does.
I guess we're going to be without Bowers for 4 to 6 weeks. Have you heard that?
We just reported that. Yes, that is correct.
I think we'll be fine. Get him back just in time for the SEC title game. He should be nice and fresh, you know? I mean, Georgia's got plenty of firepower without Bowers. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
I don't think they do.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, we got Edwards,
he's been the best player on the team by far.
Yeah, but I mean, you know what, Paul? I would have more concern if I lost an offensive or defensive lineman than I would a running back, a tight end, or wide receiver. We lost
a couple of those.
Well, they're back.
Do you keep up with Georgia football, or do you just pontificate?
Well, Paul, we won 40 out of the last 41. What's the problem?
I don't think I've said there was a problem in the past. I just think there could be a problem over the next few weeks. Augie is up next. Good afternoon.
Paul, did he just say they got a problem with their bowels? Why don't they just take some Pepto Bismol?
I think he did. And that's why he was calling us from his laboratory.
Oh, man. Well, BK was happy today, wasn't he, Paul?
I think he's finally loosening up.
Well, I think we had a haunting in Tiger Stadium this past Saturday. We had like the ghost of past LSU defenses showed up. So that's a positive sign. And where do you have Jaden Daniels ranked in your Heisman ballot? In the top three?
He would definitely be in the top three. But right now it's impossible to know because the quarterbacks in the Pac-12 are still sorting themselves out.
Well, there are a couple of takeaways from this weekend. I think the Pac-12, tell me if I'm crazy, they got a shot at getting two teams in, and that's Oregon and Washington. What do you think?
I totally agree. I mean, I said I thought the Pac-12 was the best conference in college football, and I heard from an SEC head coach yesterday. He said, you're wrong. He said, prove me wrong.
Then I'm wrong too, but USC is a fraud, yes or no?
Totally.
Miami dematerialized this weekend, yeah. And Kentucky evaporated, right or wrong?
Kentucky, at the risk of offending everyone up there, Kentucky is Kentucky. Under Mark Stoops, we get good, and then we get the slide. We got that game. Kentucky should have won that game. I know that sounds crazy, but, I mean, they had everything going for them, and then one play completely turned the game around.
That's true. And Louisville is not who we thought they were, correct?
They were a pretender from, I mean, they beat Notre Dame. Come on.
I thought they were better than that. But well, poor old.
It's hard to follow up a big win like that when you're not used to it.
Well, that's true. That's a matter of class and pride in a program, and that's a sign that they ain't got it yet. But poor old Sleepy Sam and Archie, Paul. What's do they need more Walmart
Sam
money, or what's
is,
up with that?
Sam Pittman is a good man.
He is.
Genuine. And
yes.
If you ask me, Augie, we're going to have some fun. I want you to pick a coach and a team to play a great game and manage to lose. He's my guy.
He's my guy, too. But, Paul, Prime set a what-the-hell record this weekend, only to be almost outdone by Boise State. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. But congratulations to Coach Prime. We are now officially moving past you.
Anyway, looking forward to it. I'm going to the Army game, Paul. That's going to be a sight, seeing Army and Tiger Stadium.
It's been about 70 years. Augie, thanks for the call. We head to the break. We've already had Brian Kelly on. Many more guests to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and more of your phone calls as we have a number of other guests that will drop by. We've already talked to Brian Kelly. Kelly is on Long Island. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great, Kelly. Thank you.
Yep. So I just sent an email so that you guys would know what I look like, since I unfairly get to look at your lovely face and you don't get to see me. Anyway, Alabama, what game do you think they are most likely to lose in the next 3 weeks?
LSU.
Yeah. You don't think Tennessee will be able to do it, huh?
Not unless someone can convince me they can generate points.
Yeah, they seem to have a problem. They stall out a lot.
Florida, and they've done it now a couple weeks in a row. So I it's hard to have a lot of faith in them, especially away from home.
Yeah, they don't. When they don't have the homers, they seem to get deflated. What do you think that's about?
I think it starts with the quarterback position. He looks out there and he doesn't see a lot of weapons that he's comfortable with, especially with Brew McCoy getting hurt. So, I think he can make plays, but I mean that interception he threw, was it third quarter or fourth quarter against A&M, had to fight Josh Heupel.
Yeah, that was a big boo boo.
After giving that up, they were pretty fortunate to get away with the win.
Yeah, they were. Georgia, I don't think they're going undefeated. Who do you think can nail them?
Well,
Brock Bauer.
I think you have to look at two games there. To me, the dangerous games are Missouri or Ole Miss. Probably Ole Miss, because I think Ole Miss is so explosive.
Yeah, if Lane Kiffin can be Dr. Jekyll and not Mr. Hyde.
Well, no, I mean, Lane Kiffin is a really good coach other than one game every year.
Yeah, but second half tended to haunt him. So, people do catch up to him sometimes. But, yeah, Ole Miss probably is the better choice because I just don't think that Georgia can survive without Brock Bowers for a month and a half.
I don't know. Darryl, they have a million other players. I just don't know, Darryl, where they've been hiding this season.
Yeah, and who are they? He didn't really.
McConkey coming back is a big deal. He's been injured. He can carry some of that, but it's a lot easier for him if you have Brock Bowers in there as well.
Yeah, you need a leader, and leadership is going to be the issue for Alabama. I think Kentucky also because of their inconsistency, and Georgia. But
Kentucky just has Florida not gotten State. The quarterback play they thought they were going to get.
No, they didn't. And they're not talented enough. Do you think that there is a gap of talent, or is everyone else catching up to Georgia and Alabama throughout this conference?
Well, I think there's always been a couple of schools at the next level. LSU is right there. Tennessee, depending on
Tennessee, sometimes.
Yeah. But other than that, I don't see anybody. I mean, if you're asking me, do I think Missouri is in that group? No, I don't.
No, but they can be an upset.
Well, they're dangerous, but
they're not at that level. You're right.
I think they've had a remarkable season, but they still make you pretty nervous. I give Missouri credit from a coaching standpoint. I mean, they had to overcome some deficiencies, and they did that, which is really how you win football games. Thank you very much for the call. Great information there. And let's check out Jason in Louisiana. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Got a question. In these post-game presses with Saban, I'm not hearing anybody call out the offensive line coach Eric Wolford. And that just kind of concerns me. And when somebody does say something about the offensive line, Saban act like he get all offensive, keep saying the same thing over and over. We got to learn from it. We got to watch film. We played seven games. When we go learn?
You're right. You can get better in seven games, and I think some of that. I mean, you heard Brian Kelly talk about that. They were experimenting defensively, and they finally decided maybe it's time to settle down. But Alabama's offensive line just is out of sorts, and I think when
it's a joke.
You also make mistakes when you're grasping, and I don't know if you blame the offensive lineman, if the offensive line coach or the philosophy. There are a lot of factors that go into it.
Yes, sir, I understand. We was running the ball good in the third quarter with about 9 minutes to go, got in the third and three, and started passing, and that's really when the game changed. I just see a lot of stuff about this team
It's not up to standard. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. That's the one chance I think Tennessee has, though, is that their defensive line is scary good. And we saw, that's a big deal. We'll keep our eyes on that the rest of the week. Trey is in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, Paul, has the Kool-Aid starting to sour over in Colorado, Paul?
I think they took it off the market today.
I guess Shadeer Sanders out there flexing his watch and he forgot what time it was on the field. What do you think, Paul?
I wish I had not just ordered last Thursday all my I bought everybody on my Christmas list a Colorado sweatshirt and sunglasses.
Did I just hear Daryl say you'd rather lose a lineman instead of Brock Bowers? Did he say that, really?
I think Daryl is really not a Georgia fan. He's masquerading at one, because any Georgia fan would know Brock Bowers is the most important player on that team.
That offense is run through Brock Bowers. I mean, that kid is amazing. I wish him the best of luck. But, you know, if he don't show up in the second half against Auburn, I'm not so sure they win that football game.
And no, I don't see any reason why they would have.
Exactly. And anybody that thinks LSU's defense back against a team like Auburn that has two quarterbacks that neither one of them throw the ball, and LSU's defense is not the line, Paul. It's been that secondary and the passing game. So I don't see how anybody can – I don't see how you can judge that defense against Auburn.
Trey, sometimes there are teams that really make your defense feel better about themselves, and I think Brian Kelly is deeply appreciative of a few frees bringing his offensive team in there.
I'm sure he does. And one other thing, Paul, you look up and down the top 25. I'm looking for Miami and JK around there. Are they anywhere? Are they near the top 25 this week, Paul?
They decided to take a week off from the top 25, or maybe like about 12 more weeks off.
Okay, Paul, I appreciate it. And thank you for taking my call. You have a great day.
Trey, thank you very much for enlightening all of us. We will talk to Chris Vanini coming up, also Cole Kubik. If you're just hopping on board here in your car or at home, you miss Brian Kelly. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.